we'll take our Sunday school books this morning. Our lesson, I think it's 2 Kings. Let me get all rigged up here. Our lesson this morning, I think it's 2 Kings chapter 11. Let me confirm that. Yeah, 2 Kings chapter 11, about the boy, Joash, that was crowned king. Good to have Brian, Pam, Titus, Philip, David with us this morning. I prayed this morning they'd be here. And Lord always gives you more than you ask for. Good to have you here this morning, brother. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Philip, how you doing this morning, buddy? David? Praise the Lord. Titus? Amen. I prayed for y'all all week because I remembered your name. Amen. Good to have y'all here this morning. Our Sunday school lesson this morning is, if you don't have a Sunday school book, it's 2 Kings chapter 11, our golden text. And I thank God for the Word of God. And it seems like there's always, in the Word of God, you know, the psalmist said, I received instruction. Seems like we always look to the Word of God and receive instruction. But the golden text is Job 5:12, talking about God, that He disappointeth the devices of the crafty so that their hands cannot perform their enterprise. That's really good. Because if God was not on the throne, none of us would be able to survive. You would be under constant attack. They'd be killing one another. They'd be doing all kinds of atrocities. But Psalms 33, I've got several verses I want to comment on, but we're getting this lesson to bear with me. It'll probably take a while. But I thank God for the Word of God that tells us things. And Psalms 33, I will be reading quite a few verses here, so please bear with me because I want to expound a little bit on how God operates. Psalms 33 says, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with the harp. Sing unto Him with a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto Him a new song. Pray skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the deep in the storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spake, and it was done. Glory. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of His heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven, He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of His habitation, He looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. There is no king save by the multitude of a host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy, to deliver their soul from death, to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord, for He is our help and our shield, for our hearts shall rejoice in Him, because we have trusted in His holy name. Let Thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we have hope in Thee. Now, in the day and hour we're living in, there's asserted efforts being made to undermine this Word, to undermine the will of God, and to try to change the times and all of that. And they do have daylight saving time, I know that. But one thing we need to do is adhere to this Word. In Acts 17 verse 30 talks about At the times of this ignorance, God winked at it, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. And God, He's not stupid. Matter of fact, wisdom belongs to Him. One man, the Bible, had enough sense to ask God for wisdom. That was Solomon. And God gave him wisdom. He had so much he didn't know what to do with. We need to be like him. But in this lesson, there's a woman in here that thought she would undermine the will of God and that she would assert the throne. And to do so, she destroyed all the seed royal. Now, what she done, she killed all of her grandchildren. I can't even conceive the thought. And that made her way to the throne secure. And for 6 long years, she had no contender, nor anyone that escaped her purpose. But now it's going to be revealed to her, and to her disappointment, that there's going to be one that escaped her purpose. And when it's made known, she lets out a desperate cry. Treason, treason, by the way, that's what she done. She done treason. Her efforts were to secure the throne for herself. But how God is able to overthrow the devices of the crafty. And history is abounds with examples of this. I mean, you look at Joseph's brethren, they sold him to slavery, and yet God, through that, brought Joseph all the way to Egypt and put him second to Pharaoh. And here his brethren are and they're starving and they stand before him. They don't even know it's him. But how God works in situations. You look at Haman, built the gallows for Mordecai and was hung on himself like the devil. And then you look at the Sanhedrin and how they related to Christ. And how skillfully the wicked lay their plots. You know, in lesson chapter 4, we read about Elisha. And the king, Sennacherib, he wanted to know, who's telling them all my plans? And here the man of God was going to the king of Israel and telling him, don't go there, they've laid a plot for you there, the Syrians have made a trap for you there. And I'm glad God does that for us. Now, he told Abraham, Genesis 15 verse 1, he said, Abraham, fear not, I'm your shield, your exceeding great reward. And true causes can be left safely in the hand of God. And He will not suffer you to fail. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4 through 9 mentions about the hidden things of God. In the world, the Bible said, they don't know the things of God, neither can they know them because the devil's blinded their minds. But the Bible said the natural man receiveth not the things of God, neither can he know them. But he that is spiritual knoweth all things, for God has revealed them to him through the mind of Christ. Paul mentioned to Agrippa, in Acts 26:26, he said, this thing wasn't done in the corner. And I know they like to take all the crosses away and all the baby manger scenes and all of that. But they're never going to do away with him. And one day, buddy, he's going to show up. And how they think not. And he's going to show himself to be God. This time he's not coming as a lamb, he's coming as a lion. But in Daniel chapter 4, verse 25, there's a man, Nebuchadnezzar. And he's got the mind of most people in this world. He thinks, that we didn't do that. He did. And he had to learn a lesson. And he was warned. He was rebuked. And verse 25 of Daniel 4, the angel told Nebuchadnezzar in a dream, till he knows that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men. In verse 37, Nebuchadnezzar spoke this. He said that he knew that the Most High ruled, and those that walk in pride He's able to obey. Amen. But this lesson here, the Bible said in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6, that David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And I hope this lesson encourages you, because you look at things going on around you, and I don't have any control over them. You don't neither. And for lack of better words, if you're not careful, they'll get you down. The psalmist said in Psalms 27, verse 13, he said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And don't faint. Just keep looking to the Lord. Look to the hills. David said, I'll look to the hills which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. Psalms 121, verse 1. 2 Kings chapter 11, our lesson here, verse 1. When Ophelia, the mother of Ahaz, saw that her son was dead, now he's the king, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal. Now, Ophelia's life work was a work of destruction. And one of the reasons for that was she was the daughter of Jezebel and Ahab. Now, is there any children that you know of named Jezebel? Is there any mothers that think so less of their daughters the name of Jezebel? Did you name your daughter Jezebel, Pam? I don't think no mother would name their daughter Jezebel, but this woman was a daughter of Jezebel, and she's just like her mother, and she sold herself to do evil. God said about His people Israel, they sold themselves to sin. And she inherited all of these evil dispensations of her parents. And morally, she destroyed her husband, which is Jeroboam, king of Judah. And the Bible said that he walked in the ways of the king of Israel like did the house of Ahab. For he had the daughter of Ahab, the wife. I preached about the marriage a while back, and it is important to choose wisely when it comes to a wife. The Bible said, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing, obtaineth from the Lord. And a prudent wife is a gift from God. And a choose wisely man, the Bible says, dwell with him according to knowledge. Get the right one, you won't have to be that smart. I think of buying every good man, probably a good woman backing him up. First not good mentioned in the Bible, God saw a man, said it's not good for man to be alone. First not good. God came down and done something about it. Done the first anesthesiology. Done the first surgery. Opened up that man's side. Took out a rib from that rib. Closed the flesh back up. Made a woman. Presented her to the man. He said, I do all the way. And God done the very first marriage ceremony. Marriage was ordained of God for a lonely man. But this man here had the daughter of Ahab for a wife. And he done that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. That's 2 Chronicles 21, verse 6. Her son, which was the king, Ahaz, or Ahaz, I can't say some of these names, bear with me. He also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, and his mother was his counselor to do wickedly. Wherefore he did evil in the sight of the Lord like Ahab, and they were counselors and example to him. But now she puts forth her effort and begins her destructive career by putting to death all of her grandchildren, the seed royal, which were all males. And there are many women like Ophelia whose life work is a work of destruction. You women, listen to me this morning because I don't want you to be like this. And what harm one wicked woman can do. And I'm not just picking on the women. Men can do the same thing. But some corrupt the morals of others by their evil speaking and by their slander and do what they can to destroy the reputation and the name of their neighbor. And a good example of that, if you want to know some good examples in the Bible, I'm glad we got something to look at for an example. But look in Proverbs chapter 6. Look at verse 23 through verse 27. This is pretty much a warning about choosing a wife carefully. And you can read all the chapter at your discretion. But I'll just read 23 through 27. It says, till a dart strike through his liver, and as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not what's for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, ye children, attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thy heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths, for she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. I've seen some homes that were a literal hell. One reason they were is because of a poor choice in companionship. Look also in Proverbs chapter 7. I read the wrong one. I was in Proverbs 7. I'm sorry. Proverbs chapter 6. Let me read this now. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs are instructions, are the way of life, to keep thee from the evil woman. There it is, men. From the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart. Let her not take thee with her eyelids. Some of these women, they paint their eyelids up and they're three or four different colors, and then they put this thing on their eyebrows and then they bat them a couple times, and best I can tell, it works. But the Bible said, let her not take thee with her eyelids, for by the means of a whorish woman, and I saw this fulfilled in my own father's life, I actually saw this word for word fulfilled. By the means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. It says, can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? And can one go up on the coals and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent. And there's a lot of wisdom in the Bible about matters like what we're talking about here. In the Bible, it's pretty clear. Don't beat around the bush. But the second verse here says, but Josheba, and I thank God for Josheba. Now, this is a godly woman. We've got some godly women here this morning. I hope we don't have no Jezebels. I hope we got godly women, women that profess godliness and love the Lord. Well, here's a godly woman, but Josheba, the daughter of King Jehoram, the sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from the king's sons, which were slain, and they hid him, even him and his nurse, in the bedchamber from Athalia, so that he was not slain. Now, Josheba was a half-sister. She was an aunt of the royal family. That allowed her to have free entrance into the palace. And she dared not openly oppose Athalia's wicked plan, but rather secretly, she moved to save this small infant of only a year old. Verse 3, he was with her hid in the house of the Lord 6 years, and Athalia did reign over the land. Now this woman took the throne. She's took it, you know, by evil purposes. Her rule, of course, not going to be blessed. I mean, she done it for her own gain. But Josheba, she was married to Jochanan. These names are over my head. Jehoiada, the high priest. Thank you, Lord. And had access to the temple. And Josheba transferred this little infant and its nurse to a chamber in the temple where he was henceforth nursed and brought up. For 6 years, this little infant, Joash, lived in the best environment. Well, I know we've got godly parents here, so for just a minute here, listen real good. This little child was brought up in the best environment, under the best influences that could be given a child. Under his aunt, Josheba, and his uncle, which was the high priest, Joah, in the temple, like the child Samuel, he had a temple for a home. His first impression would be of the daily sacrifices of worshiping God. A better school than if he'd been brought up in the palace itself. Every Christian home should breathe that kind of atmosphere. It does make a difference. And it too should be a temple where peace rules, where the first impressions on life, on the little minds, are God and His glory. And you know, Jesus, when He was young, Herod tried to kill Him. And you know, that's found in Matthew chapter 2, verse 13 through 16. And he was unsuccessful, but in his effort, he had all the children killed from 2 years old and down. But Ephesians 6:4 talks about bringing children up. It says, you fathers, bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Those little minds, they need to be influenced the right way with the right things. And he had the best environment to be brought up in. in every Christian home ought to supply that same to the children of that home. In the seventh year, Jehoiah, I can't say these names, don't hold it against me, sent and fetched the rulers over hundreds with the captains and the guard and brought them to him into the house of the Lord and made a covenant with them and took an oath of them in the house of the Lord and showed them the king's sons. Now, for 6 years, Athaliah reigned in Israel. And here we've got a good priest. And there are some good preachers. And there are some that ain't good. But a good priest sought out the right plan. And with care and caution, and it was necessary to have care and caution, his efforts were proceeded with skill and secrecy. He first took confidence in 5 centurions. And he made them swear an oath of fidelity. Then he showed this young king to them, Joash, and the soldiers entered into his plan at once because he's the rightful heir for the throne. God set all this up. But the risks were enormous. But God's shield was upon them concerning this lamp of David. This little boy was David's seed. God spoke about David's seed, that there'd always be one to sit upon the throne of David, and God's only one could make that promise and keep it. And they say, no, it ended with Jehoiakim. No, it didn't. Christ, the seed of David, will rule and reign on the throne of David in Jerusalem, just like God said. But this lamp, this little child, was, you know, to be, he had to be protected or he would be extinguished. He'd be killed. And this boy, he's a feeble child, a feeble ark of David's house. And also the Messiah promised a lineage of Christ. And had he perished, God's word would have fallen to the ground. And I'm glad God's word didn't fall to the ground. Matter of fact, he said heaven and earth will pass away, but not one jot or one tittle would fail in the word of God. But the captains of the hundreds, they went forth and secretly spread among the Levites and the chief of the fathers of Israel the tidings that there was still an heir of David's lineage to the throne. And they came to Jerusalem and saw the young king. You remember them? Wise men. They saw his star and they came to see the babe. And even though they didn't really understand, they made the journey to see this child Jesus, and they did get to see him. And for what it's worth, they didn't see him in a manger like the shepherds did. And that's a good place for a lamb to be born. John said the Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world. That's a good place for the lamb to be born. But they actually saw him in a house 2 years old with his mother. So when you see the manger scene and you see the wise men putting their gifts down, that's not necessarily true. Read your Bible. The shepherds came and saw him in the manger. And they said, we got to go share these tidings. And they went and shared those tidings. But when the wise men came, they found him in the house. He's 2 years old with his mother. Bless you, Molly. And they came and saw this young king. Notice this. I like to have a church like this. The people were of one heart, one soul. They were united. I wish we could have a country like that. I wish we could have a church like that where we'd be united in the heart. They were able to do what they were set in their heart to do. And they undermined the will of this wicked queen. And she was left without any knowledge or warning of this rightful heir to the throne. And verse 9 says, the captains over the hundreds did according to all the things that Jedaiah the priest commanded. And they took every man his men that were come in on the Sabbath with them that should go out on the Sabbath and came to Jedaiah the priest. These guards were assigned both for the king's house and also for the temple to guard it. One third was posted at the principal entrance. A second was posted at the gate called Sur, or the side gate. And the remaining third part was placed at the gate of the temple. Verse 10, and to the captains over hundreds did the priests give King David's spears and shields that were in the temple of the Lord. While trusting in God, Jehoiada took every human precaution. And by the way, faith and works do go together. They cooperate in the service of God. Then, James said, I'll show you my faith by my works. And listen, I like faith, but I like it even better when I see it working. Amen? And they exercise a lot of faith here in these works. And they had to depend upon God, that they'd be able to follow through in this effort. And our dependence should be entirely in God instead of human means, because human means are unavailing. I prayed this morning that Brian and Pam would be here this morning. I prayed this morning. You know, the Bible says that God adds to the church daily such as should be saved. And I prayed for all of our visitors that they'd keep coming. And man, I tell you what, we need to incorporate God in our prayers and our plans. I don't ever want to be guilty of trying to undertake anything without asking God's help. And I have found out without fail that, boy, He honors it when you involve Him. When you say, I need help, He shows up. And I pray for Monica to be here this morning. Look right there. There's Daniel. I wasn't even expecting him. That's an added bonus. Amen. Hallelujah. God always gives you more than what you ask for. But sometimes human means is unavailing. You know, if you call old Brother Eddie, and listen, I mean well, I love you. But you may call me, and I may have bigger problems than what you got. I got up Saturday morning, 2 o'clock in the morning. And Pam, when I got up, I heard water running. And I thought, my wife, she didn't jiggle that toilet handle when she got done. It wasn't that, it was broke. Man, I raised the lid on that thing, and lucky me, I don't throw nothing away. I had a basement full of spare parts down there, and I took 3 and made one. I'm the world's worst. My wife said, get rid of that junk. I said, one day it'll come in handy. It came in handy, Keith. The whole top part broke off of the thing. I put the next one on there, and I had to incorporate another to get 2 to adopt, because they got them all just a little bit different one from another. But I fixed that thing. And stayed up and read my Bible and got blessed. My socks rolled up and down all morning long Saturday morning. And I'll share with you here in a minute some of the things the Lord brought to my mind. But anyway, we need to use every means available, but also to be diligent to ask God in our efforts. You know, the Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, that our labor in the Lord is not in vain. God's not forgetful to remember your labor of love, but we need to be diligent in the work of God. Verse 11, and the guards stood, and every man with his weapons in his hand. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but the mighty through God that are pulling down strongholds. Use the weapons God's given you. The Bible talks about the sword of the Spirit. Talks about the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, loins girded about with truth, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Use the weapons. Put all them armor on, and then the Bible said, having done all to stand, stand therewith. You got everything you need. Just use them. Amen. Well, they stood with their weapons. The guard was drawn up, and they were across the temple court from wall to wall in several ranks before and behind the king. Verse 12, he brought forth the king's son. Glory to God. I can't wait to see the king's son. Amen. Woo! We're going to see him in his glory. They're going to present him. We're going to get to see him. Amen. And they put the crown on him, Sister Molly. I'm going to be there the day that they put the crown on the king's son. Amen. We may have to stop there and have a shout and intercess. Amen. But they're going to put the crown on Jesus just like they put the crown on Joash. And I mean, better the world ain't going to like it, but I'm going to shout all over the place. Hallelujah. Amen. They put the crown upon him. They gave him the testimony. They made him king and anointed him. They clapped their hand and said, God save the king. Hallelujah. They done everything right. Now, you can do something right the wrong way. And you know, for lack of better words, we need to be precise in how we do things. The Bible said, let everything be done, let everything be done decently and in order in the church. There we go. Thank you, Lord. Then the young king Joash was brought forth. His guards stood firmly around him, each man clutching his weapon, and any person attempting to break rank would immediately be slain. They were united, and that's what we need to be. We need to be united. And the more united we are, the more fruit we'll bear. But David's son was too precious, and the guards, they were very punctual and very determined to protect him. And this is the guard that God places around his sons. And you can read about that in Psalms 34, verse 6 and 7. Because without that protection, the Bible says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. And I'll tell you right now, I'm glad God, he don't sleep nor slumber. He watches over me while I'm asleep. But this act of the coronation, the act of this coronation of this child king was then proceeded with a ceremony. And the high priest, Jehoiah, presided the ceremony. He's the one that conducted it. He acknowledged Joash as king by acclamation. It was the divine choice. You know, the Lord, He raises up and plucks out and casts down. But this kingly authority was derived from God. The throne belonged to Him. It rested completely upon the divine will of God. But when this wicked queen, Athaliah, heard the shouts and the witnesses, the witnessed and the rejoicings, she rent her garments and cried, "Treason, treason!" And Athaliah, the queen, was not only not God's will, but she had usurped the throne and killed the rightful heirs to it. But now her own treason is come down upon her. The Bible said God's not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. She brought this on herself. She brought this treasure upon herself. And she sees only the treason of her enemies. And is this not the state of mind of sinners? Sinners, until they get saved, they can't see things as you and I see them. I mean, I've been a sinner. I remember how I thought about the house of God. Now, I had an evil eye, a biased opinion. And you know, the state of mind of a sinner is they just don't understand the things of God. But Jehoiah gave the orders that she should be took beyond the temple and be slain, and it was immediately carried out. But what a crown she received from this career of sin. And she's the last member of Ahab's cursed family, and she met a deserved doom. And let me say, judgment against sinners will be executed speedily. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11. And it will surely fall upon the sinner. The Bible said that judgment will begin at the house of God. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, what shall the end of the ungodly, two different people, and the sinner be? I'll tell you right now, it'll be executed speedily is what it'll be. I'm glad I may just get scarcely saved, but I'm glad I'm going to get saved. Amen. Verse 17, "And Jehoiah made a covenant between the Lord and the king and the people that they should be the Lord's people, between the king also and the people. And the people received it as if it was from heaven." I mean, here, they thought it was, you know, David's line had been cut off. And they thought, you know, there's no more now to rightfully rest upon the throne of David. But now, here's a new heir that just manifests. It just shows up. And it's an occasion of rejoicing and renewing of vows. And I say that because they had a holy house cleaning. Verse 18 said, "The people of the land went into the house of Baal, and they break it down, and his altars and his images, they break in pieces thoroughly. And they slew Mathan, the priest of Baal, before the altars, and the priest appointed officers over the house of the Lord." There was an earnest awakening, and immediately it showed itself zealous. And all the people were of one mind, and they set themselves to reform the land. They sought to build the as well as cast down, and the false worship was replaced by the true worship. And the preference now is upon the Lord and not Baal. And Joash, he restored the worship of Jehovah, and the people flocked back to the temple of the Lord. Now there's a sad note to this lesson this morning. I wish we could leave these next verses out. Verse 19, "And he took the rulers over hundreds and the captains and the guard and all the people of the land, And they brought down the king from the house of the Lord and came by the way of the gate of the guard to the king's house, and he sat upon the throne of the kings. Now Joash is now escorted to the throne, the place of his father, the wicked queen of Thelis, she's dead. Joash filled the people's heart, and Joash, he began well, but he didn't end well. He ended in a shameful forsaking of God. And I've seen this constantly be repeated. I don't know how many times on the front row of Bethel, my seat over there was where that Bible is right there. And I saw a whole line of men, whoa, glory, hallelujah. And then they gone. I saw them last a little while. I didn't see them run with patience or races before them. I can name them. It break my heart too. But I watched them one by one leave the house of the Lord for other things. Listen, I'll just say that to you this morning. Consider the latter part of this lesson. He began well, but he forsook God in his later years. His reformation was not complete. He listened to evil counselors. The Bible says evil communications corrupt good manners. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. You want to live for God? You need to stay in the house of God, stay in the Word of God, stay in fellowship with God.
Amen.
Don't go to a place you don't need to go. The Bible says, make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Don't leave no beer in the refrigerator. Don't leave no magazines laying around. Get it out.
Amen.
Pour it out. Get rid of it. Amen, Brother Melvin. Burn it. He allowed evil communications from evil counselors to corrupt him. Also, he disregarded the warning of God. I will say this about God. He's gracious. He always will warn you.
Amen.
Everybody don't receive the warning, but God always warns. And the Lord, He sent prophets to them. This is really sad. But He wouldn't give ear. And Zechariah was the son of Jedidiah, which was the priest that spared his life. They brought him up in the temple. His son, Zechariah, this king Joash, had slain. Here again, we see the hardening effect of sin. Don't tell me you won't do it. Peter said, though I'll forsake you, I'll never forsake you. He done more than forsaken. He denied him three times. On the third time, he cursed. Said, I know not the man. I'm just telling you. There's a real devil down here. There ain't no good in this flesh. Paul said, I know that in me and my flesh dwells no good thing. That's why we need to arm our own. That's why we need to stay in the house of God. That's why we need to pray. And I'll tell you what, resist the devil. But he actually had the son of the man that saved his life, that brought him up, placed him on the throne. He had that man's son slain, Zechariah. The hardening effect of sin. But not only did Joash pay no attention to the warnings, but he had ingratitude. He forgot the debt that he owed to the one that saved him. And he put his son to death. The messenger of God may suffer for his faithfulness in rebuking sin, but no royal power can stay the judgment of God. And Joash brought himself into judgment. He was himself slain by his own servants. Many like him begin well, but end badly. They make a fair profession at first, and then when any trouble or persecution arises, they're offended. They go back, walk no more with the Lord. They become worldly. The Bible says, let him that think of his standard take heed lest he fall. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. And Paul mentioned the church of Galatia, that they made a fair show of the flesh. You know, I'm not so much interested in what you got on the outside. I'm interested in what you got on the inside. Because what you got on the inside will have an effect on what's on the outside. And let me just say this morning. That's a tremendous Sunday school lesson. And I hope we be doers, not hearers only. That's a good lesson for all of us to consider and apply. All right.